One of the family.
The family. Dogs are a part of it and at the very heart of it. Nikki Campbell explores this wonderful world with the help of special guests and some other family members.
Welcome to One of the Family. We're going to be hearing from top comedian. He's a genius, Kevin Bridges, and he's going to be telling us about his beautiful, I mean beautiful, rescue dog, Annie. And she is quite a superstar.
At least she can say she came from a poppy farm in Cork to performing in the hydro in front of 12,000 people.
His faithful friend. There's another couple of F words along the way. All good. Also in this edition, dogs, they make us laugh, they make us smile. But do we make them smile? You know, like expression of happiness and contentment. Are they doing that, or are they just showing their teeth for some other reason? My wife Tina has a little Westie who's a walking, talking, well, walking, smiling, let's not go too far, delight, and she smiles at Tina when she sees her. We're convinced that's what she's doing. We will get the answer from Victoria Stillwell, the world-renowned dog expert and trainer. That's coming later. Does your dog smile at you? Right now, world-renowned culture vulture, Bria Campbell.
One of the family.
Does Maisie actually smile? Is it a real smile?
Yeah, she scrunches up her face.
Is that a smile, do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to ask an expert and find out definitively.
Ooh, I'm scared. Anticipation station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we watching Love Island Australia?
It's funny. And we're not getting Love Island UK this summer, so it's the next best thing. But I know who wins already.
They're all smiling, aren't they? Are those smiles real? Yeah. Kevin Bridges is next. Well, Kevin, I just think he's one of our greatest comedians. He's fantastic. And when I saw that he followed me on Twitter, I was thrilled. So I sent him a message to get him on the podcast.
I loved your booking policy for the show as well. Just the Twitter direct message, sliding into my DMs. Kevin, are you a dog lover? I was like,
well, I knew you were.
So who's this creep? Do you want to see the puppies? It's good to see a podcast about a pro-dog propaganda.
I couldn't live without dogs.
Well, I always loved them when I was a child, but I was never allowed to get one. I had bad asthma when I was a kid, so that was my mum and dad's excuse. And I wanted to be a vet, and then I think the monumental task of having to study and getting the sciences, I think that overwhelmed me a wee bit, so I never became a vet. But I loved animals. There was always loads of strays. I don't know if you get that as much in sort of neighbourhoods, and so there was one or two would always come by, and I remember my mum always going mental because I would always take some food out of the fridge if they'd been their big weekly shop. I think it was a collie, and I used to feed it cocktail sausages, so every single day it was back looking for me and the I don't know if you're allowed to give dogs bloody cocktail sausages, but so that was my only real relationships with dogs and friends, dogs or whatever.
Wow.
So Annie was my first ever dog. I never quite grasped the strength of the connection, obviously, until you have your own dog and you start to see their personalities form every day and the bond. I kind of understood it, but you don't fully grasp it until it's your best mate, and it's your most unpredictable mate. It's just like you can be having a nice walk or you can be in a pub, a beer garden, and then she'll just start going mental and then you need to apologise. But at the end, it's like train spotting with Begbie. What can you do? He's a pal, that sort of thing. She's a Labrador cross. I don't actually know. I've been saying for six years she's a Labrador cross, but I don't know what she's crossed with because she was a rescue. So people who know their dogs reckon there's a bit of beagle in there. Mm. Something to do with her freckles and her ears and her temperament. I would say she's got the lab intelligence, but a bit of the beagle sort of rebellious streak. So apparently you can get a dog DNA test. So
yeah.
You can take them on a Jeremy Kyle type show. And so I would actually be interested to get that done to see, rather than just saying she's a lab cross. So so she's a Labrador, predominantly a lab. Because she was a rescue, it's hard to tell exactly what age she is. 6 years ago, and they reckon she was between one and two, but she had had a litter of puppies already. So, really young. So I don't know what the backstory is. The Dogs Trust reckon that she was maybe on a puppy farm. It was somewhere, I know, somewhere in Ireland. I think it was in Cork. So she's got a wee Cork accent. That's what I always say when she's barking. Put that foot in the fucking bowl there, boy. So I don't know the backstory, but it's turned out all right for Annie and for us, obviously.
So the day you got Annie, what was that like?
I had seen, we'd seen the profile picture, and we were told that she had a lot of health issues. So she was in Cork, I believe, in Ireland. And then we got told that a couple from Newbury were going to adopt her. But then she got brought over to Newbury and she needed loads of operations. She had loads of health concerns. And I think the couple, for whatever reason, decided it was going to be too much upkeep, vet bills and stuff like that. So they knew that we were looking for a Labrador, and she got brought up to Glasgow, got her operations, and then they told us that she had like alopecia. I don't know if this is a result of mistreatment in the past or whatever. She had alopecia, another skin condition, bronchitis, a bit of arthritis, pancreatitis, anything itis. Annie's got every itis going. So we still decided, as soon as we met her, we're like, right, she's a one-off. And then she got the medical all clear. A few medics. She's always on some kind of medicine, Annie. And then that was it. We meant to pick her up. They give you like a couple of hours just to make sure you're compatible with the pet, you know, and just in case there's anything from their past. Like some of the pets in the Dogs Trust don't like being in male company for whatever reason. That maybe a guy's been bad to them in the past or whatever. So they're just checking stuff like that. They're very professional, the Dogs Trust. I think their biggest fear is somebody adopts a dog, gives it a second chance, and then bring it straight back. So the dog just ends up demoralised or whatever. So that all went good. Got her home, and then that was it. She was just so hyper. I think it was a mixture of excitement and just like finally being in a home. And then she had that kind of puppy nature. That's what made us think like she was only maybe one. You know, because people always ask her age, and they said between one and two. So I'm worried that she's going to be eight when I hope she's just seven. You know what I mean? It's getting to that stage, like, I don't know, it's a bit morbid to think how long have you got left with your dog or whatever. I think everybody does have that sort of process in their mind. So she was just hyper, puppy-like, and it's never quite left her. She's obviously a bit more grown up, but there'll still be days when she just gets herself wound up into these frenzies of excitement, still chases her tail some days. So she's always been a kind of puppy at heart sort of thing. So I pretty much that excitement for the first days carried on through her whole life.
And she trusted you from the off, did she?
Right away. But then Annie would trust. I've had to leave her outside the bank or the post office sometimes, and you come out and there's a crowd of five people and she's on her back getting her belly rubbed. And so I think Annie would trust anybody. We always say if this house was to get broke into, Annie would probably a rub of the belly, and she would probably show them, I think this is where his watch is, and I'm pretty sure his laptop's up here. As long as you're rubbing her belly and you've got some chicken.
And you love her?
Of course, aye. She's adorable. Everybody that meets her loves her.
Let me show you something. Come over here. Right. You know the comedian Kevin Bridges?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Have a look. Can I put it here? You have to come around this way. Have a look at Annie.
Oh, that one.
Look at this one. Isn't she gorgeous? Look.
Too cute.
And she was rescued from a puppy farm in Cork, and then she was abandoned on the street.
Oh my God. Awful.
One of the family.
So tell me about the whole decision process with you and your partner getting a dog, getting the rescue dog. Was it something to do with your, you know, kind of, I would imagine, manic lifestyle? There's arena concerts, loads of people and all that, and just wanting some way of kind of centering yourself.
The Dogs Trust was always, I just thought it was a bit more ethical than just, I think, exchanging money for a dog. And I don't want to, fair play if anybody chooses to go that way, but I think I could never imagine reducing Annie just to like a or she was £600, or as she cost, or however much a Labrador cost. So I think, in hindsight, I'm grateful that we went to the Dogs Trust, and you're giving a dog a second chance as well. I know it's quite trendy, these people with the £2,000 dogs or whatever, but it's your mate, and you don't want to be paying money for the friendship. So I'm glad we done that, and we took Annie, me and my wife, we took her back just before Christmas to the Dogs Trust just to meet all the old staff that used to look after her. And my wife, she's dog, she's obsessed. So we went back and she was what I adopt every single dog in the place.
And you can't blame her. More from Kevin soon. I got in touch with the Dogs Trust, who do such amazing work, and I spoke to Sandra Downey, who was the caseworker, the matchmaker for Annie and Kevin and his wife. And Sandra told me all about Annie's story. What was she like when you picked her up?
She stayed at our centre in Ireland for a period of sort of settling in there, making sure she was fit to travel. And then she came over to us in Glasgow. She had a little touch of kennel cough. So we were treating her with the kennel cough before she was able to go home. She was instantly someone who was really fun. She wasn't really jumpy or bursting loads of energy. She kind of wanted to get to know you first, and then you saw that part of her personality. But she loved to play. She loved playing with toys. She liked to come and sit next to you and lean on you and try and cuddle in for a fuss as well.
So it sounds like maybe somebody had once cared for her if she thought of human beings in a positive way. Maybe.
Yeah, I would think so.
What could possibly have led to her being on the street, being a stray, I wonder?
There could be many reasons. It could have been that she was bought as a puppy from a puppy farmer, an unknown source, and as she got older, maybe the owners of her no longer had interest. I sent Kevin the pictures and the update on what her personality was like, and he was instantly taken with her. She was taken with them as well, actually. I think they used treats quite a bit to start with, and some toys to make sure she knew that they were lovely people. And she came around really quick, and straight away they were like, yeah, this is the one for us.
And Kevin was saying he brought Annie back for a little reunion with the people who were caring for her. Were you there?
Yes, he's brought her a couple of times now. He recently just brought her before Christmas for our last visit. She came with a donation for toys and such like for the dogs that are still here looking for a home. And she was really happy. See everybody. I think she just likes having a fuss. So yeah, she was really happy wandering around saying hi to everyone.
Why is she so right for Kevin?
I think she has a really good personality for him, that she can be really good fun. She loves going out and about and playing and walks with Kevin, but she also can be quite calm and affectionate in the house. And I know he's taken her on tour, and she copes really well with being on tour and has even been on stage with him. I know he calls her out on stage as well and she gets an applause. It's really, really good for him to have Annie with him and a bit, I'm sure, of companionship on tours, which is wonderful.
From that start in life to actually being on stage in front of 12,000 people, it's a wonderful story, isn't it?
It really, really is. It's proper like a rags to riches story, isn't it?
She's adorable. Everybody that meets her loves her. We always say you would love to have a conversation with your dog. You know, you just to ask it a few questions, just to ask them what they think. You know what I mean? Are their dreams, like Annie's really bad for snoring. I never knew dogs snored, but it is like so loud. But it's quite soothing. If it was a person snoring at this volume, you would be going mental and waking them up. But for something, it's when she starts snoring, it puts me into a more sounder sleep. I find it quite relaxing. It gets me to sleep just listening to how good a sleep sounds. I mean, she's a good advert for sleep. You're just going, that sounds amazing. And I would love to know what they're dreaming about. Like, if you could see your dog's dreams, I reckon they would be pretty sort of hallucinogenic experiences. Probably just gigantic tennis balls getting chased or whatever. I would love to see inside a dog's dream. But it's the way they can go from like hyperactive to this deep sleep in like a couple of minutes. Like they have no problem. Annie would sleep anywhere. You see her sometimes, and she actually wakes up with a limp because she's been lying on her paw. And I don't know if dogs get pins and needles or an equivalent, but it's definitely that. She tries to jump off the couch and then she goes over on one side, and it takes her a few seconds to get the life back into her paw.
Billy Connolly did a sketch didn't he, years and years ago, about lying on your arm.
Aye.
And then,
and then
it sounds like
a ludac. Yeah. Aye, that is a great routine. And I think everybody that's seen that routine tried it, definitely.
Does Annie know you're funny?
No. I think she, when we're in the West End of Glasgow, I think she gets a bit confused as to why people come up and get a picture with me, because Annie's all about Annie. You know, she likes to be the centre of the attention, so she's always jumping up if there's people taking selfies. But I've had a couple of times that people have said hello to Annie in the street, and I don't know them. I've never seen them before, but somehow Annie knows them, so I think she's got a wee secret life going on. And she's actually, she came on the stage once. I take her away sometimes on tour. And there was one night, I think it was up in Inverness, and it was about 20 minutes before the show, and the dog was missing. So obviously I've got enough in my mind to having to do the gig, and I'm like, where the fuck is Annie? And then we just held the audience, oh, how many people were in, I don't know, but maybe it was about half full. We just held a collective, oh, and I'm like, shit, she just walked straight on the stage. So I had to sort of coax her off, and my tour manager had to walk on and just grab her by the collar, but she was loving it. I think she was enjoying the everybody's here to see me sort of feeling. So we managed to get her off, but obviously half the crowd have seen there's this lovely Labrador in the building. So at the end of the show, they're shouting, is that your dog? And I'd done a few routines mentioning I had a dog. So they put two and two together, and we had to bring her on at the end for the encore, and everybody gave her a big applause. And so I think that was a highlight for Annie's sort of showbiz career. And she loved it. She was not fazed at all. I think that's her. She found her calling.
You do this thing on dogs and cats in one of the shows that I saw. I mean, tell me about your views on cats.
I don't hate cats or whatever. So I just, anytime I've been in somebody's house and there's been a cat there, I've just felt a bit, this thing hates me, sort of. But maybe that's my own sort of paranoia. Annie's got a real problem. She's got anger issues. When we take her out for her last walk at night, she always goes out looking for trouble. You know, she's always underneath cars and all that kind of, she likes to start the fight. I worry that if she ever caught a cat one day, because she's a very timid dog. She's barky and stuff, that likes a chase, but I think a cat would probably turn on her. So you need to be on your guard at night time.
My little terrier, I mean, they're crazy about cats because there's a cat next door, and when the cat gets on the fence, they all go absolutely crazy. I've got two West Highland Terriers and also Maxwell. The little one is a feisty little being and very, very intelligent. Everyone says that about their dogs, don't they? Oh, my dog is so intelligent. But,
and then as soon as you bring somebody over, the dog starts licking its arse and just barking at itself on the telly or whatever, in the reflection on the telly or whatever. Yeah. Everybody, that's a good point. Everybody does think their dog is university. It's the same as kids, isn't it? Parents always think their kids are smart, but secretly you can tell they're thick as shit. But carry on.
More from Kevin coming up, including him and Obama. First, just let me tell you, the YouTube channel is up and running for the podcast. And please get in touch by email as well. hello@oneofthefamily.uk. With any suggestions and questions for experts and feedback, thanks for all the kind words on the podcast. It is so appreciated. I've had some excellent feedback from Kirsty as well.
One of the Family.
How do you think my podcast's going so far?
Really good. You've got a good reception. No audience. Is that what it's called? Everyone's loving it.
Have they heard you? Have people reacted well to you?
Yeah, they say I'm pretty entertaining.
Do they?
Yeah, I've had a lot of that.
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
It's not about the diva, it's about the dog. Unless, of course, the dog is a diva.
Because Annie's all about Annie. You know, she likes to be the centre of the attention.
What does she do for you then? What difference does she make to your life?
I think they're the happiest days when you just get up in the morning, take your dog a big walk, stick a podcast in, and just see where you end up. And I think being a comedian, so much of your job when you're not performing is just daydreaming, you know, just thinking. I think that's why so many comedians are prone to like mental health problems, because you can overthink, you can start thinking too much. But having Annie there is a, you know, it's a distraction. You just drift off, let your mind wander, and that's when I start getting ideas and taking wee notes on our walks. So like, creatively, it's an excuse to constantly be outside and know what I mean, stop in at a wee beer garden or have a coffee or something. And Annie's got her wee locals all over Glasgow. So on that side, and also when I take her on tour, it's a good way to get out and see a new city, because you need to take her 3 or 4 walks a day. So you get into, you get to know the city a bit better before the show in the evening. So when I've got her, we just make sure the hotel's dog friendly. And then that's pretty much, that's fine. As long as the gig doesn't involve a flight, obviously, and you can take her anywhere. So, and I would always take her somewhere that's going to be good for her. I'm not going to take her to like Milton Keynes or something like that. If it's a gig in like the Lake District or, you know what I mean, somewhere, a big city that's going to have a park area like Newcastle. She's been to Liverpool, she's been to Manchester, she's been Inverness, the north of Scotland's obviously ideal. So, yeah, Yanni's done the miles.
And when you've, like locally maybe, and we've done one of those massive arenas, and you, I mean, that must be on a small scale, like, I don't know what it's like, but for you with those thousands of people and those big laughs you get, because you're so funny. And then you get out of there and you kind of, your head's, you know, buzzing, and you get home. It must be great seeing her.
Aye, well, sometimes we just take her. If it's Glasgow, we just take her to the gig. And he's got her own, well, she knows where they do the catering for all the crew. So Annie just goes straight for that. She knows where that is in the hydro. She knows exactly what floor that's on. So she just stands at the door, kind of crying for somebody to come and open the door to let her in. Obviously, it's a health and safety thing, so she can't get in. But the chef guy always makes her a wee dog bowl with some like chicken and rice in it. So she loves going to the hydro for that reason. But aye, she just stays in my dressing room. So when I come off stage, and as you say, your mind's going bonkers, 12,000 people, and you walk into the dressing room and it's just her on the couch, and she'll just stand, she'll just lie still, but it'll just be the tail sort of thumping off the couch, you know, as if like, I don't give a fuck, you just perform to 12,000 people, but go over here and get this belly rubbed. And it just brings you straight back into the real world again. So I felt sorry for her on the last run, because she was always backstage during the shows. So I brought her on the last night. Somebody was shouting, "Where's the dog? Where's the dog?" throughout the whole show. So I thought, right, the last night at the Hydro, bring Annie on. And that was it. So that was our biggest crowd, 12,000 people. But she never done anything. It's no Britain's Got Talent. She just came on and just looked at me. And then we walked back off the stage. So at least she can say she came from a puppy farm in Cork to performing in the Hydro in front of 12,000 people. Sense when what mood you're in. Like, even when I'm in a bad mood, like sometimes if, well, usually this one's went quite well, but technology, I don't usually have the patience. So even if I'm sitting trying to work something on the laptop, and I'll be like, "Oh, piece of shit," she just stands up and leaves. So I need to run after her going, I'm sorry, Annie, come back. And then it puts into perspective, right, stop calling this computer an inanimate object, stop calling it a piece of shit, and just stressing at the dog. So they've definitely, they really sense your emotions. So, and it works as well when you're feeling a bit sad, I think they know, and they come up a bit closer and a wee lick in the face sometimes. That's always goes down well if you're feeling a bit sad or whatever.
It really is. Is that where you performed for Obama?
In Edinburgh, yes.
Wow.
I know. It was Sir Tom Hunter, the Hunter Foundation dinner. He was there. That was it. So I don't know if he actually seen my set, because I was supposed to be on stage at like 9 o'clock, and I think I got on about 11:30 at night because Obama went on a bit.
Come on, get off.
He was supposed to be speaking for like 30 minutes, and then it was about 2 hours or something he was on. But obviously he's a captivating figure, but come on, first rule of the comedy club is I'm pretty sure he's seen a bit of my set or whatever, but I never seen him afterwards. But we met him beforehand. I remember the queue, it was quite surreal because there was only like 4 or 5 people allowed in to meet him.
Wow.
And it was me, Annie Lennox, who else was there again? Charlene Spitari.
What a band. So, wow.
I know, and my wife, she was everyone was allowed a plus one, so she came in, and we've got the picture of Obama in the middle. It just looks like Madame Tussauds though, the picture. Looks if we are in London or Amsterdam at Madame Tussauds. But he seemed a nice enough guy. But he had that kind of, when we walked in, he had somebody in his ear telling him who everybody was.
Oh, really?
So he was doing that politician thing, like pretending. Yeah. I was like, oh, how you doing? I actually said, how you doing? I know. It just came out so natural. I was like, how you doing, Barack? And I never knew if you're supposed to say, like, whatever. Well, it was former president, so he's just Barack Obama again, isn't he? I said, how you doing, Barack? And I said, I'm Kevin, I'm the comedian. And he's like, I know.
What did he say? Oh, all right, big man.
No, he said, I know you're the comedian. He's like, you're hilarious. And I was like, he's never seen me in his life. He's just been told, and he says something nice. Or he's been told comedians are famously get low self-esteem, so mentioning the guy's hilarious.
But the reason I bring him up is that he's the, apparently, Trump, I heard this, Trump is the first president in history or in recent memory not to have a dog.
Say, no, is that true? Every single president? There we go. Say no more.
Yes. So, to smiling. Does your dog smile at you? Maybe we just want to think that they do. So Tina, my wife, and her West Highland Terrier, and the smile. Is it a smile? Tina asked Victoria.
So this is my dog baby. I gave birth to her, literally, obviously. I mean, clearly I didn't, but she did. Didn't you, my dog? This is the first of the litter that was born in the sitting room. And she had five puppies, and she didn't feed, Misty didn't feed her for a long time. And so I was on the phone to the vet. What shall I do? So I ended up feeding her through a pipette.
Wow.
Oh my God, I love this dog. And she does this smiling thing.
When she sees Tina,
she goes like that. Yeah. She goes like that. She literally pairs her dog lips back, looks up at me and does the smile. And is that learnt behaviour from me? Because I do smile at her constantly.
They say that some dogs will, it's called social learning, so will pick up and sees that as an sort of a greeting, an expression. Other people say that that's appeasement. So it's more like a puppy appeasing, like they normally do. You don't have to, appeasement doesn't mean you be nasty to it. Appeasement is just what a puppy naturally does to their mum and dad. So it's raising of the lips. But I really do think it has come through social learning where they have seen us interact with them and expose our teeth to them. And sometimes they'll do it back.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. I mean, I like to think I've got the only dog who does it, obviously. But no.
But it is. There's been a lot of studies in it to show that it is a smile.
It is a smile. It's not a Mona Lisa enigmatic smile. It's not a sneery, false smile. It's not an insincere smile. It's not a Love Island smile. It's a smile that knows only honesty. A smile that will never let you down. Much more from Victoria Stillwell, who is fantastic, in an upcoming episode when we look at the language of dogs. Right now, though, a brand new feature.
Maxwell takes the biscuit.
Good boy. You're a good boy. Do you want a treat? There you go. Is that the best thing you've ever had? Bump that tail.
Is it?
And as a really special treat, you can see Kevin and Annie on the One of the Family YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.
Bye.